Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined in studio by Sean Barber, former NFL linebacker. We'll talk to him about the effect that Yannick Ngakoue can have on the race between the Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens, what kind of player he is, and also take a look ahead to Chiefs and Broncos. We got a lot to get into in today's hits.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
I want to take over hit number one, and I want to tell you a story really quickly. So the city of Overland Park, they tweeted Patrick Mahomes. I don't know why they told Patrick Mahomes first, and they didn't tell me, since I'm the one that actually brought Whataburger here to Kansas City. So the city of Overland Park said, hey, Patrick Mahomes, we've got your first look at a taste of Texas right here in OP. Whataburger just submitted their plans for the former Salty Iguana site near 135th and U.S. 69. So they are building a Whataburger. One will be in Blue Springs. One will be in Overland Park. Can you tell me why Overland Park tweeted Patrick Mahomes and not me, since I'm the one that actually brought Whataburger here? I started a petition back when Patrick Mahomes was still in high school to bring Whataburger here. I'm really upset that everybody keeps getting the credit other than me.
Yeah, that is too bad. You do deserve a lot of credit for
Thank
that,
you.
And Pat doesn't deserve as much as he's been
Not
getting.
At all.
There's no question about that.
He gets credit for enough things. Why can't he let me have this?
Are you thinking about applying for the gig? Because I know you like it so much, and it was your idea. They're looking for a general manager for the store you're talking about.
We're actually in conversations right now to see. The money might not be enough for me to go ahead and take over.
Time could be an issue also.
I mean, if the money was right, I would just go work at Whataburger.
Oh,
I'd
yeah,
be like,
me too.
I'm out of here. Deuces. I'm gone. So we'll see what happens. We're having conversations right now. More than anything, I don't really need to work at Whataburger. I don't need to take over as a manager. I just want to do the endorsements. I'll do it for free. Whataburger, holla at me. I'll do it for free. I just need a gift card. Like Nick Wright, our good friend.
Mm-hmm.
So Nick Wright has a celebrity Chipotle gift card where whenever he wants Chipotle, he then gives them this card. They scan it and his order is free, whether if he gets it on the app or he goes in the store. That's what I need for Whataburger.
I think you've earned that. I think you've earned that.
Like Whataburger, holla at me.
Maybe not a lifetime of free Whataburgers. I would say for the first year that they're open,
that's all I need.
You should get one of these little coupons where you can walk in, not every day, but maybe twice a week, and get yourself a burger, fries, and a soda. I think you've definitely earned that right.
Somebody said, CDOT, bring White Castle to the OP. No, because it's gross.
I ate it one time and I vomited. I'm good on White Castle.
Next hit.
You don't like spicy ketchup. You don't get the endorsement. Bring it to me. I deserve it. I've earned it. You have too many
Salt
endorsements.
That's how KU fans do. They see your blessing. They try to block it. That's how y'all get down. Y'all gross.
I was in Vegas. I was like a dozen beers deep, and then I had White Castle. So maybe that has something to do with the regurgitation. But either way, I'm good.
Two.
That was a hit?
That was hit number one.
That was a big
hit
time
number one
hit.
Is where they're putting Whataburger. It's going to be on 135th and U.S. 69.
That's my old neck
that's
of the
way
woods.
Out there.
That's way out south.
Over by Shane Company. I go out there all the time.
I feel like that's been... At least that little strip mall, I'm not saying that exact building, but that's been a few different places. So good luck to Whataburger's surviving for a while. I think
that building,
a
million percent
cursed. That movie theater, I used to be called Cinetopia. I haven't been.
It's AMC now.
Man, I went in there and they had a couch. Like, not like, you know how they have those like real comfy movie chairs?
Yeah.
They had a couch where you and Bae could get your little love seat. You could bring a blanket and really snuggle up while watching the movie. I was like, yo, Overland Park isn't that bad at all.
Rob,
I like it out here.
Is that the one by your crib where you grew up? Or was
I've already alerted my parents that I'll be stopping by the crib a lot because the Whataburger's going to be right there.
Was that a thing?
Me and the parents going to re-gel.
Glenwood South? I think that I used to watch movies there. And then the original Glenwood. You guys remember that movie theater?
I saw Star Wars
in Glenwood. You always ask me these questions on
things. Well, you're allowed to cross the state lines.
who was taking me when I was 11 years old?
You don't need a passport to go from Kansas to Missouri, dog.
I mean, I assume you weren't spending a whole lot of time at Bannister Mall because you grew up in the Blue Valley School District. That is really wasn't where you was hanging out. You weren't over there.
I made it there once or twice.
Once or twice, yeah. It's like me and Metcalf South. I wasn't going out there a whole lot.
Shout out to Metcalf South and my beloved water fountain when you walk in. Rest in peace.
Have you ever been talking to a girl and she didn't tell you where she lives and then you're like, yo, you live all the way out there. I don't know if this can work. That's how South Johnson County is. When she finally sends you her address and she lives on 150th, you're like, yo, this is the only time I'm coming out.
That's no problem.
I'll never come over here again.
Platt City is when I see Platt City.
Okay,
I'm like,
well, I would have known way before she sent me the address that she lived in Platt City.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that I actually, made the 45-minute drive one time to meet a girl in my pre-girlfriend days, but I did, and it wasn't the great. I didn't know it was so far. Who knew?
Yeah, I'm not driving to Platt City.
Yo, that's out there.
Well, hit number two
ended
this week.
Interview in Platt City, and I'd be like, I'll miss that week.
I'll
get it
the
next
edge.
Week. I'll get it next week.
Beautiful people.
Hit number
Platt
two
City.
Is this weekend.
No, they're not beautiful people.
Beautiful people.
I'd rather go to Iowa than Platt City if I had to choose between the two.
Talk over this gentleman.
Sweet Moses, that's very low on Platt City.
He's about to start saying something about to cut off his mic.
This weekend, the Chiefs will take on Kansas City native Drew Locke. Sean, with him and Herbert both in the AFC West, which one of them do you view as a bigger threat to Patrick Mahomes?
What city is he from, Drew Locke?
Lee Summit.
You got probably Lee Summit?
No,
it's the Overland Park of Missouri.
Summit.
I wouldn't
that's
know.
What it is.
I'm from Kansas. I'm not allowed over there. I don't know what that's like. I don't know what you asked me about Drew Locke, so I think that he's a good quarterback. I don't think he's as good as Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert
in the
division. You
know the hits that are on the computer, right? Like you can read the hits and follow along on the thing and know what he's asking
you. I don't like to do that. I just like to not pay attention.
Who do you like more, Herbert or Locke? That was the question.
Herbert. I think most people do.
I don't think that Drew Locke has a chance to be a star. I don't think he has a really high ceiling. I think Locke's ceiling is like consistently being the 12th best quarterback in the NFL. I think Herbert has a chance to be a top 5 quarterback at some time in his career. Will he reach it? Probably not, but I think Herbert has a chance to be a star in the league. I don't really see that kind of potential for Drew Locke. So if you're asking me who do I think is the bigger threat for Mahomes, I think it's Herbert. I really like his athleticism, and if he can get the accuracy part down, I think Herbert has a chance to be really, really good.
I think it's going to be a great battle for the next 10 to 12 years between those guys for second place. I hope they enjoy themselves.
Somebody said, where would you rather go? Platt City or Leavenworth? Hell would be the answer to that. Hell out of here. The only time you go to Platt City is for fireworks. That's the only time you would ever go to a place like Platt City.
I always wonder what happened to you in these particular places. Like, you must have had a bad night there. The way you talk about Topeka, you must have drove through and been at the gas station and got gas all over you or something. Like, I don't know what your problem is in these places.
I'm just saying is if you've ever been to Topeka, you can see why it's not a great place, why it's not a lot of fun. If you've ever been to any of these places, you'd be like, yo, you look around there and whenever the best restaurant in your town is Sonic, that's not a place I'm really that interested
in
going.
No, the Blind Tiger in Topeka.
I'm not really that interested in going.
I feel bad for you that grew up on the Missouri side because you always tell me about your field trips growing up. Like, we went to Exchange City, right? We went to the Capitol building in Topeka. I don't know what the hell you guys did, but I can tell you this. Blue Valley, Shawnee Mission,
American
Kansas
Royal.
Side. Yeah, y'all went to the American Royal?
We went to the American Royal. I saw A Christmas Carol a couple times while I was a kid. We went to the zoo.
Oh, the zoo's
when I
a
was
good
there,
one.
Yeah, the zoo's a great place.
We went to the Coterie Theater.
We had great field trips
at Crown. Okay, but let's not compare Missouri school kids' field trips to Kansas because we got Exchange City, dog.
I don't think anybody has ever compared the school districts in Kansas City to the one in Overland Park.
I'm not talking about the field trips.
That's also part of it.
Exchange City.
Did you really put Exchange City and the state capital as two good ones? The state capital stunk. It was a boring day.
Well, compared to Exchange City,
that's a great field trip. I'll ride with you there. That's a great field trip.
Which one?
Both of them are great field trips.
State Capitol's okay. Rob's being a little bit harsh on it.
That's a great field
trip. You take the
bus
ride?
In Top City for 3 hours.
Like 45 minutes and you get to see the rotunda?
Yes,
whatever the hell
it is
works.
A rotunda.
But yeah, I mean, Exchange City. Like, help me out here. Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line, 913-576-7610. It doesn't get any better. Like, that day you're going to Exchange City is the last day of school and field day and Christmas morning all combined.
Sometimes I really wonder, sometimes I'm, laying there in bed. Sometimes you, think about the show, and I really wonder, what year can I say that Sean peaked? Like, we all have, a peak year. Like, I think I peaked at 26. Like, 2014, 2015, that was the highlight of my life. I'll never be as good at radio. That was the peak for me. I wonder if it was, the day you went to Exchange City.
No, after that, I would say.
Or the day you went to the Up and Smoke Tour.
Yeah.
Like, you maybe haven't been the same person since.
It's been a decade plus, I would say. I would say 1998, 1999. Like, frosted tips and, yeah, the chronic 2001.
You had frosted tips? Well, you buried the lead here.
You didn't?
No, I was like eight.
I didn't either. This might be a surprise to you guys.
No,
I
that
never,
doesn't surprise
I never
me that
had
you
the frosted
didn't,
tips.
Yeah, I mean,
back I, in wasn't, the, wasn't really a thing.
Did you bleach your hair?
In 97, why does your voice get so high every time you talk about
this,
it?
Why do we talk about the Milli Vanilli stuff but never this?
No, I use the cap method. So we would like, I'd have one of my friend's sisters, Chrissy Palomba, she would pull my hair through the cap, and it was just the bleach tips. I didn't do the whole thing.
Oh, someone on the text line makes a good point. We also went to the Steamboat Arabia. We also went there. That was also
that's a good field trip.
Very strong field
that's
trip.
That's probably the most, besides the Negro Leagues Museum, I think it's probably the second best museum in town. I love that museum, though. Steamboat Arabia, that's a good time.
Four.
Well, the Chiefs' opponent this week is the Denver Broncos, who are GM'd by former Bronco quarterback John Elway. Now, the pressure's starting to mount for Denver to hit him on the hot seat. But, C-Dot, is it fair to compare what Elway has done in Denver to what Royals general manager Dayton Moore has done with the Royals?
I think the two are much more similar than people want to give credit. If you look at post their run, so Elway had a four-year run where the Broncos were one of the three best teams in the NFL. The Royals had that three-year run from 2013, 14, and 15. We all know what happened. Both teams went to two championship games. They both left with the ring. Since then, the Royals have won 42.9% of their games. The Broncos have won 42.1% of their games. The Royals haven't had a winning season since they won the World Series. The Broncos have had one winning season since they won the Super Bowl. They both changed coaches during that time. I know what Dayton has done. He has done a magnificent job. But I think if you're both organizations and winning seems to be a little bit in the future, do you have the right person to navigate it and get you back to that point? Denver is certainly asking that question. We'll see if new management is asking that question about Dayton Moore.
You know what I always say, C-Dot, whenever we get in these type of conversations, just tell the whole story. And the whole story is, before John Elway became the general manager of the Broncos, they were pretty good. In fact, they had this quarterback named John Elway who took them to five different Super Bowls. It was a stable organization. They were getting quarterbacks that weren't that bad until he got there and he went, yeah, Tim Tebow looks good, Brock Osweiler, Paxton Lynch, all these different dudes, and it hasn't worked out. So I think it's a little bit disingenuous, if you will, to compare Dayton Moore, because when Dayton got here, the cupboard was completely bare. His best player was what? Jose Guillen, Gilmesh, like he had a bunch of crap. So it's not like they took over the same situation. The Broncos,
I agree there,
the previous 25 years, were probably one of the better organizations. The Royals, before Dayton Moore got there, were hands down the worst organization, definitely in baseball and maybe in American professional sports. So if you just go by the numbers, I don't think that's telling the whole story.
Five.
Earlier today on The Drive, former Chiefs and Kansas State wide receiver Kevin Lockett joined the show. You can catch that on the podcast page. He said this about the development of Mecole Hardman.
What did he say, Rob?
I have literally no idea why this is not playing.
I'll play it for you.
Yeah, I think one of the things that Mecole has is he clearly has just athletic, God-given ability. I mean, he's one of the faster players in the league. You know, when I saw him come out of college, I thought, to me, maybe it was a little bit of a stretch pick at that point because he didn't seem this polished. And so if I have to pick any area, it's maybe him polishing up as a receiver, right? We saw Tyreek do it. Tyreek excelled in the first couple of years purely on talent alone and being able to outrun folks. And now if you really sit down and watch Tyreek, he still does that from an athletic perspective. But Tyreek runs great routes. He gets in and out of his breaks right now. And so he's not just getting open because he's fast now. He's also getting open because he's understood and he's worked on the craft of being a true wide receiver. And I think that's where Mecole can learn a little bit from what Tyreek has done. And I think if he'll polish up just a little bit on the art of pure route running and understanding coverages and understanding how to beat guys one-on-one, then his God-given talents, his speed and so much so forth will take over.
Sean, do you agree with Lockett? If Hardman is able to improve those little things, he could potentially end up like a player like Tyler Lockett is for the Seahawks.
I doubt it. He's never going to turn into Tyler Lockett. I think Tyler Lockett's maybe a top 10 wide receiver in the league. I don't think I've seen anything from Mecole Hardman that tells me he's going to be that guy. If anything, I think I see more of a Percy Harvin where He's just a gadget type player that might break off a few long runs or jet sweeps or reverses and maybe have a couple of long touchdown catches. But yeah, I really don't think necessarily that he's ever going to turn into anything like Tyreek Hill. So those comparisons are probably a little bit unfair, even the day that the Chiefs drafted him. My question, C-Dot, would be this. Going forward, who do you think has more catches for this team this year? Mecole Hardman or Le'Veon Bell?
It's a really good question. Probably Le'Veon Bell, because I think the volume's just going to be there, kind of catching it out of the backfield. I also think, like, once everybody gets back, he's still going to have a defined role in the offense, and I don't really know if Mecole Hardman's going to have that. I'm not maybe as down on Mecole as you are right now, which is very weird that we've sort of flip-flopped in this. The thing for Mecole just needs to be, he has to start doing the little things at a high level. Like, I don't think we give Tyreek Hill enough credit for what he developed and turned himself into. He was a world-class athlete, a track star, one would say. But then he started putting the time in. He started running much better routes that right now he's not getting those big time pass plays. Tyreek Hill does not have a game over 100 yards. They're not having those two catch 105 yard days the way that they were early on. When you think about it, that's when Mecole Hardman was really having success. Teams weren't defending the Chiefs the exact same way. Now that they've taken the home run ball away from Mecole Hardman, what else can you do on the field? That's to me where he has to sort of establish himself as an offensive player. Can you start doing the little things? Can you do the things that DeMarcus Robinson can do? Can you do the things that Byron Pringle can do? Can you be a guy that just doesn't hit the big play over 20 yards? Can you be a guy who can move the chains on third and five? That's what I think Tyler Lockett good at. I don't have Tyler Lockett in my top 10, but I think Lockett has a pretty defined role. You know you can go to him on third and eight. You know you can go to him on third and six, and he can help you move the chains. Do you know if Mecole Hardman can do that right now? The only way that they trust him to do that is on jet sweeps. They don't trust him in those scenarios to throw him the football. That's where he has to develop and take that next step.
And now's the time, and I don't mean like this year. I mean literally starting this week and really last week, but for the next couple of weeks, you got Sammy Watkins out. You play three below average defenses. This is the chance for Mecole Hardman to, I'm talking about more of an impact than we saw from Byron Pringle, more of an impact than we saw from D-Rob, actually be a guy that goes out there. I'd love to see him four catches this week, four catches next week, 75 yards, 80 yards, a touchdown, so we can look at him when everybody's healthy and Sammy comes back and say, now Mecole Hardman's actually another threat for Patrick Mahomes.
Right now, we're very happy to be joined in studio by former NFL linebacker Sean Barber joining us. Sean, how you doing, man?
What's the deal, my man? Holy Phil. Let me reach into my pocket. I got something for you.
I can't wait to see what this is.
What you mean you can't
wait to see? Oh, thank you. I appreciate this.
You can explain to the listeners what it's about.
Whatever you gave him, you didn't give me, so what the hell?
Good old Chick-fil-A. I don't even know what this is for, but I know I beat you with something. I don't know exactly what I beat you in, but I know I beat you with something.
It was the length of the deal for Le'Veon Bell.
Oh yeah, you're right. Because you were adamant the Chiefs were giving Le'Veon Bell 2 years. I don't know why.
Rob, Barber pays up his bets quick.
If only you had the same sort of integrity.
Sean ain't never paid a bet.
Nah. At some point I will.
Ain't never
one
paid
day I'm
a
gonna
bet.
Have those delicious pumpkin beers. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, never going to get it. Barber, I'm actually really curious. Who do you think's the better player, Frank Clark or Ngakoue?
Oh, Frank Clark. And it's not this looking through my Chiefs glasses. Frank Clark is not only a force on the field. I think he lets his leadership go off the field. He creates a whole nother. If there's a transformation between the 2018 and 19 Chiefs defense, I think that D-line is the attitude. I mean, we had Chris Jones already there, so the only difference I can really put my finger on is what Frank Clark brought to that room, and he brought a edginess, he brought an attitude, he brought like an alpha dog mentality. And I don't, I don't know the guy that the Ravens just got to acknowledge if he has that or not. But obviously he seemed to be able to bounce from team to team to this standpoint where there's something that either an organization aren't willing to extend him on a long-term deal, or there's just something about his character just not something you want to, you know, sign on to longer than 1 year.
I see the numbers here between the two, and they're actually pretty comparable. You could probably argue that Ngakoue has maybe done a little bit more since 2016 than Frank Clark. I see this move as a direct answer to the Chiefs and the beatdown that the Ravens got, that the Ravens realize our defensive line has to get worlds better if we're going to compete against Kansas City, that now with Calais Campbell and Ngakoue, we give ourselves a chance to only rush four, drop seven, and with our secondary, we have a chance to defend Kansas City. Do you look at this trade as maybe answering that question?
It might be an attempt. I mean, there's a lot of people. People have a lot of plans facing the Chiefs before the actual game time comes. I think the Buffalo Bills had a plan, and then 240 some yards later, after the rushing game was over, they realized that probably was not the best plan facing the Chiefs that week. So the one thing that's so exciting to see about the Chiefs is how they keep developing and evolving on the offensive side of the ball to always surprise us with something different, whether it's a formation, whether it's a vertical threat. Then we got Mecole going to one side, Tyreek Hill going to the other side on jet sweeps, or it's the tight end, the offensive line pass, or it's the shuffle, the sausage. Andy is doing a great job of keeping Kansas City on its toes and on its and keeping other defense coordinators on their heels when you talk about developing gameplay. And so I think that it really doesn't matter what the other the opponent's defense personnel is. You still have to prepare for such multitude of different offensive sets and formations and different ways of attack. It's going to leave you kind of with your head spinning on defense.
Barber, before we talk about the Broncos and their current quarterback, Drew Lock, what are your memories on the field of their former quarterback, John Elway?
I don't think I personally have any true memories of John. I mean, I don't have really too many memories at all of football, to true. most of them have been it might be a blessing that a lot of those memories got erased. Either I knocked myself silly or knocked somebody else silly most of the time. But everything I hear from him, he's just a great competitor. He's a guy that he wants to win at all costs. He wants to bring a championship mentality to Denver. He did that by acquiring Peyton Manning, even though Peyton was at the end of his career. He paired Peyton with a great defense, and they was able to, you know, win a championship.
Right now, we're talking to Sean Barber for a few more minutes here on The Drive, taking a look ahead. Sean threw this question out earlier. I'm curious on where you are. What quarterback do you think has the brighter future, Herbert and Lock? And where do you kind of see the ceiling as those two? I don't think Lock has a chance to be a star in the NFL. I think he's a chance to be a good quarterback. I don't really see like star. I can carry a franchise potential. I think there's a chance Herbert could do that.
Man, that's a tough question because I think both of them are going to be limited by the coaches and the personnel that you surround them with. So, right now, if we get Eckler back, they got the two young running backs. They have Henry as the tight end, a handful of really exciting receivers for the Chargers. And then if you look at Denver, besides Judy and Sutton as the wideouts, they got Ken Hamler, I think. The running back position with Philip Lindsay, Gordon, I mean, Noah Fant is always hurt. I just really think the limitation on both of them are going to be who is the guy actually calling the plays. And unless you pair either one of them up with a bright, innovative offensive mind, I think they're both going to be kind of handcuffed or limited to reaching any potential, anywhere close to what we're talking about with Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes, any of the greats that we're seeing right now. I don't think either one of them really have a chance of reaching any of those kind of levels.
Right now we're talking to former NFL linebacker Sean Barber. There's a couple of questions I want to ask you about the offensive line and how you think Le'Veon Bell is going to be used this week. Stick around. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive, weekdays 2-6.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we will take a trip inside the mind of the machine. We have former NFL linebacker for the Chiefs, the Eagles. And do you call them still the Redskins or the football team? Because I know you played for the Redskins, but they don't exist anymore. So you now say I played for the football team.
No, I played for the Redskins.
Okay, I'm making sure I wasn't.
I mean, he did play for the Redskins. Yeah, he didn't play for the football team.
I wasn't sure.
OG.
I wasn't sure what team you say that you played for.
I mean, does Kevin Durant say he played his whole career for the Thunder? Does he mention, like I said, it doesn't make any sense. But before that, he probably brought up the Sonics, too.
Yeah, he actually did play on the Sonics, though. He played for the Sonics, and they also moved. I want to talk about the Chiefs' offensive line. Were you surprised at how they played on Monday against the Bills, given how poorly they played a week prior to the Las Vegas Raiders?
I was surprised how efficiently the running game went against the Bills. I thought the Bills' defensive front, Ed Oliver was a guy that I actually had a chance to scout. I was doing a scouting gig. And so coming out of Houston, I thought he was one of the really underrated guys coming out. I thought he was going to hit the league and be the next Geno Atkins. Like, this guy has the potential to be a dominant force guy. And so I know the Bills culture. I know Sean McDermott. I know what he's building there. Bills Mafia is going to be one in the trenches. That's the kind of football they want to defend and play against. And so it was surprising to me that our offensive line was able to control the line of scrimmage pretty much for four quarters straight. And it was almost like at some point they just thought that the Chiefs were going to have to throw the ball. Like, this was just a temporary, we're going to run it a few times, and eventually we're going to get back to doing what Andy loves to do, which is pass the ball. And Andy was basically running. I mean, it looked like to me, basically, that he went through his first 15 plays, and 11 of them were running plays, four was passing. And at the end of that, he realized all the running plays was working, so he flipped the formation, ran them again. That got him through the first 30 plays, and at the end of the 30 plays,
they just kept doing it again.
And it flipped it back over.
I saw Brian Baldinger say that they basically ran the same 3 to 5 running plays the entirety of the game.
I mean, that's great film study. It's unfortunately for the Buffalo Bills, I guess at halftime or at no time did anybody decide to come up with answers for what the Chiefs were doing as far as the running game. We call it Bob, big on big, duo blocks. You double a guy and then go up to the next level. You can't have linebackers 6-7 yards deep when people are doing Bob blocks, tag blocks, big on big type things. It eats up your defense. It eats up your defensive line, and it moves that line of scrimmage way too far down the line for you to have any type of stability on the defensive side of the ball.
Is running back a tough position to get up to speed, no pun intended, versus the defensive side or some of these other positions? Because Le'Veon Bell obviously can play coming up as early as the Broncos game. Could he have an impact right away?
I think so. As far as just getting it lined up, it's only so many places a running back can line up, and then it's all about your targets. So, once he knows which play the play is about to head on, he knows, hey, I'm targeting the outside leg of the guard, and then it becomes instinctive, what he sees, his vision. Like, Lev Bell in this offense is going to be something dangerous. Like, I know me and C-Dot, we make these bets all the time, and I paid him on it because I thought that Lev Bell deserved a multiple-year contract.
I like Le'Veon Bell. Don't try to now make it seem like I was against you on Le'Veon Bell.
No, you took the low-hanging fruit. You took the obvious one, C-Dot.
I just didn't think they were going to give him a two-year deal. That's all I was betting. You were adamant they were going to give him a two-year deal.
Well, on the field, I think he's going to more than earn whatever money we gave. Whatever's left in that contract, I think he's going to more than earn that in the last 14 games of this NFL season.
My question about the offensive line is, do you think they can replicate that and do it again against a different team? Like, Buffalo's a bottom 8 run defense team. Houston, the worst rushing defense in the NFL. Those have been the games where they've really been able to dominate. We can't really say we've seen that outside of those two teams. Now with no Mitchell Schwartz, their best offensive lineman, can they replicate what they did against Buffalo?
100%. Because I don't think it unfortunately, sports is not played on paper. So, like, the personnel people have and the stats and whether you're the 30th ranked or it's situated. If you come to the ball game, if you come with the right mindset that you want to get your knuckles dirty and punch somebody in the face and win the line of scrimmage and do all the dirty things need to do to actually have a rushing game and be effective, if defensively you did not come to the ballpark ready for that, and a lot of teams don't come to the ballpark against the Chiefs ready for a rushing game. They want to cover vertically. They want to double team Kelsey. They got to take the top off the defense with Tyreek Hill. They want to make sure Mecole doesn't hurt him in the special teams department. And then they got this new weapon, Clyde Helaire, who they want to make sure that doesn't affect him out of the backfield when it comes to the passing game. No, I don't think any defensive coordinator tries to come up with a defensive game plan thinking that he's going to have to defend 45 carries a game against the Chiefs offense. And so it was brilliant. It was a brilliant time to display and to unfold and to open up the offensive playbook when it comes to the rushing game. And like, Baldy said, if we only had to run 4 or 5 different runs and we just did them out of 15 different formations, and that's something you have to defend now, according with the other stuff, the screen game, the vertical game, the RPO game, the jet sweep. Like, there's so many different folds of this offense that is now being created. I don't know if any defense can get ready to play the Chiefs in a week. I think you need a bye week. You need something, some extra days, because the normal practice schedule does not give you enough time on the defensive side to prepare with all the different facets of the Chiefs offense.
We've talked a lot this week about Mecole Hardman and sort of finding his role in the offense.
I think it's clear what his role is right now. What do you say he needs to do to develop and be on the field like DeMarcus Robinson? Like, they clearly trust DeMarcus Robinson. They trust him on third down. They trust him in special teams. They trust him to do a lot of the little things. I don't think they've shown that trust yet in Mecole Hardman.
I think Mecole just, I mean, everybody has a role to play. Right now, you know, our special teams is something that I think we are all seeing that has a way to go to be where we need it to be to win playoff ball. And I think we're trying to run balls out. We're trying to do things on the special team. I think he continues to lead that group as far as our return game, making smart plays, knowing when to fair catch it, knowing when to run it out, and just being on top of his game. Opportunities come. NFL is a – you know how it is, man. It's the next man up. Be ready to – when it's time to play, you got to be ready to go. So when his number is called, he just got to go out there and perform. The times I've seen the balls in his hand, especially in that Raiders game, I thought he ran – in that Raiders game, harder and with more passion, I've seen him the entire time here in Kansas City. I loved what I saw from Mecole Hardman when he was running the ball after the catch or in the running plays in the Raiders game. It's just he hasn't had those opportunities. But at the end of the day, we heard what Coach Bienemy said. It's only two letters we worried about. It's the W's and the L's. We're not getting too many L's. So as long as we keep getting them W's, I think everybody in the kingdom is going to be happy, and our offensive players are going to be excited about what's the new fold? What's the new thing we're going to see on Sunday versus the Denver Broncos when we get after them donkeys?
Barbershop, for a guy that played in the league as long as you did, how much does the opponent matter? Because the Chiefs have played the Bills and they've played the Ravens and they've played the Patriots. It's easy to get up for those games. You mentioned their one loss came up against the Raiders. Maybe it's a little bit more difficult to get up for that team. Now they got the Broncos and the Jets and the Panthers. Is it really tough to get up for an opponent when you know that maybe they can't match up with you on the field?
In 2018, I sat here with CDOT, and I told him the only team in the next few seasons going to be able to beat the Chiefs are the Chiefs. If we don't perform, if we make, you know, penalties and alignment, assignment errors, blow cover, there's things we can do that cost us. We can shoot ourselves in the foot to cause us ball games. But from a talent and a preparation, on the level of just the talent on the offense and defense side of the ball, I don't see a team that really matches up well with all the ways we can move the ball down the field. Now, if we miss field, I mean, there are things that happens that will cost you a ball game. Putting the ball on the ground, turnover battle. Those are things that play a role in every outcome of a game. But when you're talking about this, the ability of a 53-man roster to move the ball and to get after the other team in the running game and the passing game, get after the quarterback, pressure the quarterback, stop the run, I don't think there is a team built like Kansas City as far as, so if I had, if I had a voice in this, say, I mean, they talk about power rankings and all that kind of stuff. It's the Chiefs and then it's everybody else.
Speaking of the other teams in here, we got two more questions before we get you out of here. Titans and Steelers play the last two undefeated teams in the NFL. Who do you like? Who do you think is a bigger challenger to the Chiefs?
Steel curtain, baby. The Steelers are actually, they've come back to play, you know, that black and yellow ball, man. They're running the ball well, passing it well. They got this golden domer has come out of nowhere to be a primetime PTP-er, primetime player. Claypool from Notre Dame. But I think all in all, the Steelers are going to be a team to reckon with. They come out the North, man. That's going to be a tough division to win between them and the Ravens. I think the Titans going to be a good ball team. It's just, unfortunately, at the quarterback position, I don't think that he can push the ball vertically enough to win games late in the season when at some point you get down two scores. In the playoffs, some team, because of turnover, because of some reason, you're going to be down two scores, and you have to have a guy behind center that can make up two scores in 5 minutes. And there are a lot of teams in the league that has it. The Ravens have one. We have one. Actually, the Bills have one. Seattle has one, Tampa Bay has one, and the Packers have one. If you're not one of those teams, it's hard for me to see you ending up in Tampa Bay for the Super Bowl.
Last question here. Who do you have this week in Survivor? I know you already had it mapped out since like the middle of August. Who you think is going to advance in Survivor this week? Who's your pick? Who'd you take again, Sean?
I took the Kansas City Chiefs.
You have the Kansas City Chiefs. Rob, who'd you have this week in Survivor?
Fly, Eagles, fly.
He has the Eagles today on Thursday Night Football in a game that I hope nobody watches today. Who are you taking in Survivor this week?
I will be watching Rob's pick today because I'm going to see him get a nice X tonight on Thursday Night Football. He thought that was a easy way to go. Unfortunately, I don't think he realized the New York Jets. I mean, the New York Giants have kind of turned things around. Dante Freeman, I think he's going to run all over the Eagles front four. So, unfortunately, Rob's going to go down tonight. I have Justin Herbert and the Los Angeles Chargers. So some I see some other guys already on the board. They're going to ride my coattail for another week. But as we can tell, I've got all 17 weeks down, and I've only had to scratch out two or three times, make some adjustments because of quarterback play. Obviously, I had to take Dallas off my list. They're never going to win a game.
They stink.
It's mutiny. I never adjusted. I never accounted for mutiny on any NFL team before this year. But in Dallas, there is mutiny going
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. I don't know if their coach is going to make it throughout the end of the year. I don't care what the record says. That is Sean Barber, former NFL linebacker with the Chiefs, Eagles, and Washington. Sean, always appreciate you coming on.
Oh, man. Hey, listeners, be ready to come back here. You know, me and Dana, we're going to get home for some players only later on tonight. So be ready for it.
Players only coming up at the top of the hour. Rob, before we get to players only, let's take a trip inside the mind of the machine.
Ravens making moves today. They got Yannick Ngakoue, and they also apparently are signing Dez Bryant to the practice squad. Why in the hell would they do that?
I mean, I don't think it's a harm in signing him to the practice squad. Just see what he has. See if he has anything left in the tank. If he doesn't have anything left in the tank, he just never makes the team. So I don't really think there's any. I mean, 16 players make the practice squad. You roll the dice.
How much do you think the Ngakoue move helps the Baltimore defense?
I think it firmly makes them the second best team in the AFC. I thought so before, but I think you could make an argument for Tennessee. You can make an argument for Pittsburgh. I think Ngakoue is better than Frank Clark. I know Sean Barber and I disagree on that. I think the Ravens are firmly the second team in the AFC.
We've heard a lot of different opinions of how the Chiefs are going to use Le'Veon Bell this season. Just out of curiosity, assuming that he plays versus the Broncos, how do you think the Chiefs use him?
I would say 6 to 8 touches, probably 4 carries, 5 carries. They throw it to him 2 or 3 times out of the backfield on a screenplay.
Yeah, I'm with you. It does feel like they're probably going to try to ease him in pretty, because it's when you got a guy like Edwards-Helaire, and you know that every time you hand him the ball 20-plus times, he breaks off the 140-yard games and has a touchdown and has a 30-plus yard carry. So you definitely don't need Le'Veon Bell right now. It's one of those things where you can kind of ease him into the system, because the truth is, and I think that this is the main reason why the Chiefs got him. They won't say this. I think they got him for the playoffs. I think that the Chiefs know that they're going to make the playoffs. They probably know they're going to win the division, and they don't want a rookie running back. So that at that point, it's going to be really, really nice to have Le'Veon Bell. Speaking of those Kansas City Chiefs, C-Dot, when you talk to your grandkids about the tight end position, do you think you'll start the conversation with Travis Kelce or Tony Gonzalez?
Let's see what Kelce ends up as. I think that Tony Gonzalez is the second best tight end in NFL history behind Rob Gronkowski. Let's see how high Travis Kelce kind of gets up that list. Like right now, I think he's probably a little bit behind Shannon Sharpe if we're talking like all time. And there's only 9 tight ends in the history of the NFL who are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I think Kelce will be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know if we can say that yet, but I think that Tony Gonzalez is top 2.
There was a commercial during the Chiefs game with Patrick Mahomes putting ketchup on his steak. We know his affinity for ketchup.
That's gross.
What's the best steak that you've ever had in Kansas City?
Oh, Capital Grill. Capital Grill 1, 801 Chop House 2nd. I don't know if I told you guys my 801 Chop House story or not. So this was right when I got the afternoon job. And, you know, you're feeling good. You want to go get yourself a nice meal. This is when Groupon was the hottest thing out.
Mm-hmm.
So 501 Chop House had a Groupon deal. It was like, spend $50 to get $100. So I'm like, man, $100 meal? Oh, okay, cool. You know what? I got in there. I saw that menu. I realized that I had made a very terrible mistake in what I had decided to do. The meal ended up being like $237 on top of the Groupon. I mean, the meal was worth it, but I almost cried when I got there and saw that menu. Almost cried.
I assume when the lady came around and said, would you like to see our dessert tray? You said, turn around immediately.
I haven't got dessert at a restaurant though in a long time. Like, I can't remember the last time I got dessert.
Oh, I'm a key lime pie guy. If you got it, I'll get it.
I mean, I love dessert.
Creme brulee?
I'm kind of ready to go at that point. Like, I've already been there for 45 minutes. Your desserts are probably very average. Like, I'm ready to go.
You know what's the best steak that I've ever had? And I don't think this place exists anymore. In Lenexa.
Ponderosa?
Although I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to talk smack on Texas Roadhouse, and I won't let that happen.
Okay, well, if that's the best steak.
But Texas Roadhouse makes a mean steak.
Okay, well, if that's the best steak.
And a cheap one, too.
If that's the best steak you've ever had, then.
It's not. I'm about to tell you
where it is. I cry for our future.
I don't think that this place still exists, but the best steak I ever had, I was young, Stonewall Inn. In Lenexa. What you know about Stonewall Inn in Lenexa?
It sounds like I see why it closed.
913. No.
Obviously, the stakes wasn't that great.
913-576-7610. Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line. Does anybody have love for Stonewall Inn in Lenexa? Place was great.
Stonewall Inn.
Yeah, Stonewall Inn.
Y'all sleeping on Pierpont's, by the way. Pierpont's makes amazing steak.
Bro, don't knock it till you've tried it. I don't think you can, because I'm pretty sure that it's now just Grinders in Lenexa.
I just Googled it. It's Stonewall Inn is now Grinders at Stonewall.
Stonewall Inn was the spot. It's supposed to snow in Denver, and we know that Patrick Mahomes doesn't really care about bad weather. Rob, what's the worst? I know you do.
I do.
You think it's cold when it's below 75 degrees outside.
It's cold right now.
You tweeted about not seeing the sun in your sadness.
Real quick, I just checked my weather app, CDOT. I know we talked about this yesterday, but let's go back there. It's 82 degrees as we speak. By midnight, it's supposed to be 52 degrees.
I ain't coming here tomorrow, so y'all going to be here by yourself.
Well, you'll be here. It's supposed to cool off 30 degrees, so stop talking any smack on Denver. I can't believe it. I can't believe that their weather would change so much. How is it possible? It happens here, all right? And it's going to happen today. And tomorrow, you're going to wake up, there's going to be frost on your grass.
Tomorrow, when I take that PTO day.
I was about doing the same thing.
Whenever I take that mental health day tomorrow.
For
where's Carrington at? It took a mental health day.
He'll do it too. It's not just a threat. My favorite stadium, NFL, other than Arrowhead that I've ever been to, is the now late great Mile High Stadium. And it wasn't a beautiful thing. It was
you kind of like Denver.
I like it more than you do. Mountains,
it was a great place.
Legalized weed. Great proximity to
the whole legalized weed thing to me is I'm not saying that it's not cool because I have been there before. Legalized weed is kind of a thing everywhere now.
No, but it's like they're begging you to smoke weed there. I heard, and I don't know if this is true. I just don't know. Research.
I mean, maybe
there's more weed. What do they call it, weed bars? Those places, whatever.
They're like liquor stores or something.
Dispensaries.
Yeah, dispensaries. How the hell did I not know that? There's more.
This is your lane. What are you doing?
I'm confused too.
There's more of those in Denver than there are bars. Like. If you like the weed, if you like a stinky icky, Denver's your spot.
I guess what's maybe surprising to me, to anybody that I know that enjoys that activity, they're not like, you know what? I really enjoy smoking weed, but it's illegal, so I'm never going to smoke it. People don't care. People have been smoking weed since the beginning of the time. It's been illegal. So now it's cool that the government tells you you can do it. I thought it was like anti-establishment, and now you're living free.
Do you have any idea how many people moved to Denver in the last like several years when that whole thing started?
I don't know.
I don't really know either, but the answer's a lie.
I don't really understand why. Like right now, if you want to smoke marijuana in Missouri or Kansas, it ain't that hard. They just legalized medical marijuana here in Missouri. If you really want to smoke weed, it ain't been that hard.
I'm telling you, Denver's different. Like you get off the flight and before you get your bag, they hand you a joint and a lighter and they go ahead. You're going to like this stuff. It's Moji Kush. It's crazy out there. Anyway, speaking of bad weather, Rob, what a bad weather Chiefs game comes to mind. It's got to be that Seattle game, right? In the rain. It was probably like 1995 or something like that. I think they had to delay the game. It was awesome.
I think it was like 2001. But
Yeah,
it was. I think it was like 2001. It's either that game or, honestly, the playoff game against the Colts, the Chiefs won, Patrick Mahomes. Remember they had that freak blizzard that morning? We had like 9 inches fall on us. Arrowhead was still full. People were shoveling the walkways at Arrowhead. Full crowd. Won a playoff game. I know it didn't snow during the game. That's a snow game. I'm going to say that one.
The coldest game I've ever been to was against the Colts. It was the Lynn Elliott game. I don't know if, like, on record that was the coldest game, but I just remember being there in section 208 next to my paw, just freezing my ass off, and obviously the ending certainly didn't warm me up at all.
I don't love anything enough to stand outside in the cold and watch it. Michael Jackson could come back right now and be at Power and Light Live. If it's outside, I don't want to go.
Do you remember? You know,
why are you looking at me like that? You know I'm not fooling with no cold weather.
You know where the victory tour started for Michael Jackson in the 80s?
I'm telling you, Michael Jackson could be outside right now. I'm not going. It's
Arrowhead.
Cold.
Arrowhead was where he started that tour. If you don't know, now you know. That's all I got.
Back again tomorrow. Chiefs and Broncos. Players only up next. Danny Hughes. Joe Mays. He's got 5 gallons of water. Sean Barber. Stick around.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.